Welcome to episode 18 of the Memoir Club podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Jordan, and today we're going to explore how to turn your most embarrassing moments into relatable stories. I'll share a story about my most embarrassing moment and explore a listener's question about how to write about success without bragging. Then, as usual, I'll introduce this week's prompt of the week. Let's get started. So, embarrassing moments. We've all had them. They make us blush even years later, and we cringe whenever we remember them. I know I do. But writers can turn these moments into some of the most relatable stories in their memoir. Stories that will make your readers laugh and cringe and shake their heads because they're glad to know that they aren't the only one that things like that happen to. So let's start with one such story. Mine. There's no embarrassment worse than public humiliation. You know, the kind where you want to make a good impression but fail spectacularly. Well, here's my spectacular failure. One semester in college, I signed up for concert band. I thought concert band would be a way to pick up some easy credits. It wasn't. A concert band is sort of like a marching band that doesn't march and doesn't wear fancy uniforms. It's a stage band, but the music is similar. I'd never played in a concert band before. I could read music a bit and worked my way through college by playing drums in bar bands, so I thought I could handle it. Turns out, I wasn't very good at concert band. I didn't know the repertoire well, and my sight reading was, well, rusty at best. So the band director assigned me to play bass drum and cymbals. That should have been an easy job, but still, I blew it. Big time. Now, the director, let's call him Mr. S, was a retired Marine band trumpeter. He came to rehearsals wearing a referee's whistle, and he used it a lot. He ran the band like a drill sergeant. Now, don't get me wrong. He was an exceptional musician and knew what he wanted from the band. And overall, the band was pretty good, but I struggled. The band had just one performance that semester, a closing spring concert. And that night, the theater auditorium was full. The musicians were excited, and the mood was positive. We'd play two sets with an intermission in between. Now, I don't remember the name of the piece we played just before the intermission, but I'll never forget what happened. Just prior to the climax of the piece, the music was very quiet, so no cymbals were needed. Now, my sheet music showed a long rest, silence, in other words. My job was to count the measures in that silence and come in with a big cymbal crash. Sounds easy enough, but I lacked confidence. I was anxious. My heart beat faster and my hands were sweaty. As I counted, I began to doubt that my count was correct, and I could make a real mess of things if I came in at the wrong spot. When the count went over 20 measures, I had serious doubts about my count. I leaned over to the timpanist and whispered, "What's the count?" He gave me the count. His count, not mine. He came in at a different spot. Thinking I was right, I focused. I was going to nail this, and I waited, and I counted, and when I hit the number I wanted, I raised those big cymbals and slammed them together with all the energy I could muster. Too early. Well, if looks could kill, I would have been dead on the spot. Mr. S. shot me a look that could have started a fire. I blew it. I messed up the finale. Very publicly. Well, Mr. S. wouldn't let me go back on stage after the intermission, and I don't blame him. He gave me a passing grade for the class, I suppose because I showed up for all the rehearsals and did the best I could do. But my humiliation was complete. I couldn't look other band members in the eye, or him. So I didn't sign up for concert band the following semester, and more than 50 years later, I still cringe when I remember my misplaced cymbal crash. Embarrassment works because it's universal. We've all felt our faces flush and our stomachs turn somersaults. The challenge is to transfer those feelings and that moment to the page. So let me give you a simple way to shape an embarrassing story. First, start in the moment. Don't summarize it. Take us there. Where were you? What did the room feel like in the moments before things went wrong? Next, remember what it was that you wanted. Maybe you wanted to do well. Maybe you wanted to belong. Maybe you just wanted to get it over with. The want is what lends weight to the tale. Then let your body tell the story. Embarrassment isn't just in your head. It's in the heat in your neck, and your dry mouth, and the way your stomach flips. And after that, tell what went wrong, cleanly. No excuses, just what happened. And then pause. What happened next? What was the feeling in the room? Were others embarrassed for you, or angry, or laughing? Tell us about it. And finally, before you wrap it up, show some compassion. What did that younger version of you learn from the incident? And that's it. If you want to map it out, try this. Write your story in 5 sentences, one for each step. Then read it aloud. If you wince and smile, you got it right. The key takeaway here is that embarrassment connects you to your readers. And when you admit a blunder, readers lean in because they've been there too. Add some failure to your memoir. It takes both salt and sugar to bake a good cake. And the same is true for your memoir. Add some successes and some failures. Your goal isn't to make yourself the punchline. It's to show that you're human. The reader laughs with you, not at you. That shared laughter is your connection. So when you write, treat your younger self kindly. Give yourself credit for trying, and that's what turns humiliation into humility.
Well, the jaunty accordion music tells me it's time for Listener's Mailbox. So let's dig in, see what we've got.
Today's question comes from Bill in Norman, Oklahoma, who writes, I want my memoir to show my successes, not my failures. I don't want to be seen as ineffective. How do I approach this? Well, Bill, here's my take. You're not writing a resume. You're writing a memoir. Success by itself doesn't tell a story. It only lists results. What gives those results meaning are the struggles and failures and near misses that led up to it. Readers connect through struggle because they've struggled too. When you include the hard parts, your success feels earned. Memoirs that tell only achievements are called brag rags. Nobody likes a braggart. None of us has lived a perfect life untouched by failure. If your memoir offers nothing but successes, it sounds phony. The stories that last are the ones that show what it took to get there and what price you paid along the way. Thanks for writing, Bill. I hope this helps. Okay, here's your prompt of the week. Write about your most embarrassing moment. Everyone has an embarrassment story. You do too. This week's prompt challenges you to tell us about it and face that memory with curiosity instead of shame. Then, once you've written the scene, add a final line that shows what you learned. Embarrassment fades, but the insight sticks around. Well, that's it for today's episode. Thanks for joining me. If you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to check out the Story Sparks newsletter. Each issue includes a link to the latest episode, the weekly writing prompt, and a printable scene builder worksheet to help you turn memories into stories. It's free, and it's a great way to keep your writing going between episodes. You can subscribe anytime at memoirclub.net. I'm Wayne Jordan, and I appreciate you spending a little time with me today. Until next time, keep telling the stories that only you can tell.